The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simin Yud. Hilchos Tefillin. We continue with the halachos and laws of Tefillin. We're up to Sif Yutes. Ein lachalaitis at tefillin, ad acher kedushas uvalitzion. A person should not remove his tefillin until after the kedusha of uvalitzion, the end of davening, after Shemini Esrei. We say Ashrei, then we say the paragraph uvalitzfila, the prayer uvalitzion, which contains within it the words kadesh, 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 and baruch kivayit, which is the kedusha that the angels say that we repeat in that tefillah. So until one has completed that kedusha, one should not remove his tefillin, meaning it's not exactly when you finish that kedusha, but rather kishaimer yehi ratzon shenishmer hakech, when you say the word that should be your will, that we should be able to fulfill your laws. After that, you is the first time, optimally the first time, when you're allowed to remove your tefillin. Will be makom in a place, in a shul. Shinoy again, that the custom is, shabayim kriya sefer Torah, on a day that they read from the sefer Torah, on Monday, let's say, or Thursday. Ein machazirin es sefer Torah, they do not return the sefer Torah to the Aron, to the Ark, ad achar kedushas uval etzion, until after they finish uval etzion. Ein chaltin es tefillin, ad shiachazirin es sefer Torah lahecho, one may not remove the tefillin until the Sefer Torah has been put back in its place in the Aron HaKodesh. Similar davar, sign, a hint to this. In the verse, it says, Vayavar Malkam Lifneim, and their king passed in front of them, Vashem Bereshem, and Hashem was on their head, which in this case means that the words of Hashem, the words of their king, the Sefer Torah, passed in front of them, and Hashem, the tefillin, which contains within it the name of Hashem, is still on their head. And therefore, in the shul where they have such a custom, generally in the shul which davens Nusach Ashkenaz, they put the Sefer Torah back before Ashrei, whereas in the shul that davens Nusach Sfar, they put the Sefer Torah back after Uval Etzion. But if one is in a shul that puts the Sefer Torah back after Uval Etzion, one should preferably keep his tefillin on until after the Sefer Torah has been put back in its place. Will be Yom Sheyesh Mila, on a day that there is a circumcision in shul, Ein lachalaitz at achar amila, it's preferable not to remove the tefillin until after the circumcision has taken place, because both circumcision and tefillin are referred to in the Torah as an eis, it's a sign, and it's appropriate that one should be wearing the sign of tefillin while they are performing the sign of the circumcision, the eis of mila. Beresh chodesh, on Resh chodesh, chaltzin kodem tefilas musav, one is supposed to remove the tefillin before the Musaf prayer, b'chol hamayit sukkis, on chol hamayit of sukkis, if you have the custom to wear tefillin, as he will discuss later on, there are varying customs, but if you have the custom to wear tefillin, then kulam chaltzin kredim halal, everybody is supposed to remove their tefillin before halal, before the recitation of halal, u'b'chol hamayit pesach, but on chol hamayit pesach, atzibur chaltzin kredim halal, the congregation should remove the tefillin before Halal, during Chazaras Hashatz, during the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei by the Chazan, the congregation should remove the tefillin, the Hashatz, Acher Halal, and the Chazan should remove it after Halal. The reason for this distinction is that really the Chazan should not waste the time of the congregation by taking off his tefillin before starting Halal. Therefore, on Chol HaMoed Pesach, he should go straight from the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei into Halal, without taking a break to remove his tefillin. Everybody else should remove the tefillin before Halal. They could do so during Chazaras Hashatz, during the repetition of the Chazan Shemoneh Esrei. However, on Sukkot, where there's anyway a little bit of a break, in most shuls, for people to take out their lulav and their esrog, to say a blessing on the lulav and the esrog, therefore, since there is already a little bit of a break, the Chazan has enough time to remove the tefillin from his hands and his head before starting Halal. Sifchaf. Chaltzin ma'uman, a person is supposed to remove the tefillin while standing. And the procedure for removing the tefillin is as follows. Meser is hakrichos min ha'etzpa. he removes the windings from his middle finger, and two or three of the revolutions from his forearm. But he did not remove the entire shalyat, the entire hand tefillin. Rather, he leaves the hand tefillin on his arm. He removes the head tefillin. And only afterwards does he remove, completely remove the hand tefillin. Because it says in the verse, it says, and they, plural, should be for taitafais between your eyes. Because it says in the verse, and they should be Lashon Rabbim, which is plural. Darsha Razal, Achacham expounded, taught us that kol zman shebein einecha, as long as the tefillin are between your eyes, meaning as long as the tefillin are upon your head, yushtayim, both tefillin should be upon you. This is obviously only optimally. We have discussed earlier that if one only has head tefillin, or if for some reason he's not able to put tefillin on his arm, he should wear the head tefillin even without the arm tefillin. But optimally, if you have both, one should be careful that as long as he has the tefillin upon his head, he should also have the tefillin upon his arm. And for this reason, you first put on the hand tefillin, and only afterwards the head tefillin. And you first remove the head tefillin, and only afterwards the hand tefillin. As long as one has the head tefillin upon him, he should also have upon himself the hand tefillin. It is proper to remove the head tefillin with one's left hand, meaning one's weaker hand, which is your weaker hand, in order to show that it's difficult for you to remove the tefillin. Why is it difficult to remove the tefillin? Because really the proper way to fulfill the command of tefillin is a person should wear tefillin the entire day. But because we do not feel we will be able to have a properly clean body, as we'll discuss later, that tefillin in order to wear tefillin, a person's body has to be clean. It may not pass gas, or something similar. Because we do not feel we'll be able to properly take care of our tefillin, we remove our tefillin immediately after the prayers, but because of that, we want to show that it's difficult for us. We wish we would not have to, and we remove it with our weaker hand. The Lo Yachalot says that tefillin, you should not remove your tefillin lo b'fnei sefer Torah, not in the presence of a sefer Torah. The lo b'fnei rabbi, not in front of one's rebbe. Eliyasalik atzmon tzadin, you should turn himself to the side. The reason is we do not want to uncover your head in order to remove the tefillin in the presence of a sefer Torah, in the presence of his rebbe, and therefore he should turn to the side, move over to the side. Minhag Chachamim is the custom of the Chachamim, of the sages, when Nashik is at the tefillin, to kiss the tefillin, b'shas hanachas, and the time they put them on, before they put them on, they give it a kiss, or b'shas chalitzas, and the time they remove the tefillin, they also give it a kiss. And that's the appropriate thing for one to do. Ein lahasir is ha-talis, am'achach litzis at the tefillin, and a person should not remove his talis with his tzitzis on it until after he has removed his tefillin. Just like we said, you first put on the talus and then the tefillin, so too in the reverse, one removes the tefillin and then removes the talus. Sifchaf Aleph. Yaniach es ha-tefillin b'teich ha-kis shalehen. A person should put the tefillin in their pouch. The oifin, in a manner, sheyeda al-machar, either he will know the next day, lo-haytzi tchil shalyad, to take out the shalyad first. Meaning he should have a specific spot to put them in. When he knows at all times, he always knows, remembers, that this is the part of the pouch that has the shalyad. He doesn't get confused and take out the shalroish first. Because if he does take out the shalroish, he will have to be maver al mitzvah. As we discussed earlier, he will have to pass by that mitzvah in order to put the shalyad on first. So instead of running into such a problem, he should set up the system that he takes out the shalyad first. However, avon lo yaniach shalyad al shalroish, he should not put the tefillin shalyad on top of the tefillin shalroish. Since the head tefillin has a greater degree of kedusha than the hand tefillin, as we discussed in the previous segment, so therefore one should not put the hand tefillin on top. You should put them one next to the other, side by side. Just remember which side you put the hand tefillin on. If you have a set place you put them, it'll be easier to remember, and therefore one should designate which side of the tefillin bag he puts the hand tefillin, so he always remembers to take them out first. he should put his tefillin bag inside his talis bag. Lamata, the tefillin bag should be on the bottom, v'talis lamala, and the talis should be on the top, towards the front of the talis bag. Kidei sheyifka the talis tchilo, so that you'll come to your talis first, because there too, one is supposed to put the talis on first, and if we should set up the system, then he reaches the talis first. If you recall, we mentioned if it should happen that he ends up reaching the tefillin first, he should first put on the tefillin, only afterwards put on the talis. But again, optimally, he should set it up in a way where he is able to put on the talis first and only then the tefillin. Sifchav Beis. Misha ain't like tefillin. A person does not have tefillin. The atzibur misbalin, and the congregation is praying. Muto she is akiv amaafer tefillas atzibur. It is preferable to wait not to pray with the congregation, rather wait until after the congregation has finished their prayers, to borrow tefillin from somebody else, in order because the appropriate way to say Shema and to daven, to pray Shema Esrei, are with tefillin on, and that takes precedence over Mimashi Yispal and Matsiba, but tefillin takes precedence over praying together with the congregation without tefillin. Even though praying with the congregation is important. But in this case, the importance of wearing tefillin for Shema and Shemoneh Esrei takes precedence over the importance of praying with the congregation. Aval, but, Misha Misyare Shema Yavar Zman Kriya Shema Ashim Tzatzilin. A person is worried maybe by the time he finds tefillin, the proper time to say Kriya Shema will already be passed. It'll be too late to say Kriya Shema. So then, Kairi Kriya Shema B'lai Tefillin, you should then say Shema without Tefillin. V'misyari Shema Yavar Gamzman Tefillin, if he's worried that even the proper time to pray Shema Esrei will pass, Mispala Gamkin, he should also pray Shema Esrei without his Tefillin. So Mispala Gamkin, he should also pray without his Tefillin. Okay, so Yim Tzarafakaf Tefillin, when he finds Tefillin afterwards, he's able to borrow, he's able to find his Tefillin. He should put them on with the blessings. The Yerma Behemis and Mizmah, he should say a chapter of Tehillim, of Psalms. I mispalo Behemincho, you should pray the afternoon service with them. Because really, the whole day is the proper time to put on Tefillin. And while a person should optimally have his Tefillin on for Shema and Shema Esrei of Shacharis of the morning prayers, if that's not possible, put them on a different part time during the day, and still you should do it with a blessing. But the nighttime lazman tefillin, who is not the time to put on tefillin, also not only is there no mitzvah to put it on at night, it is forbidden to put them on at night, as we are worried he may fall asleep in them and pass gas, which is forbidden while one was wearing tefillin. Mutun likach tefillin shel chaveiro, a person is allowed to borrow, to take the tefillin of his friend, gam shen lo biyadi also, even without his friend knowing about it, without asking his friend permission, to put them on and to say a blessing over them, as we mentioned in the previous siman, that one is allowed to borrow his friend's object, mitzvah object, as long as it does not detract from the value, doesn't ruin it in any way, and he's careful to put it back exactly in the right spot, fold it up, or in this case, wrap it up exactly the way his friend had it. So it is technically speaking permitted, but we mentioned then that it's something one should preferably stay away from. Much better to find somebody that you could ask to borrow their tefillin rather to take somebody's tefillin without speaking to them. Sif Chaf Gimel. Tefillin Srichin Guf Naki. In order to wear tefillin, a person must have a clean body, which means that he has to be careful not to pass gas in them. That's what it means, a clean body. One should not pass gas in his tefillin, or relieve himself, really, in his tefillin. Someone who has a stomach ailment, and he constantly feels the need to use the bathroom to relieve himself. Even if he's not in pain, he is exempt from wearing tefillin. He cannot guard himself with the proper cleanliness because he's constantly running to the bathroom. His body is not clean because of his stomach ailment. If he appears to him, it seems to him that he would be able to hold himself in. He wouldn't pass gas, wouldn't have to be in the bathroom, he'd be able to keep his body clean, at least during the time of Kriya Shema and Tefillah, Shemoneh Esrei, and the prayer of Shemoneh Esrei, he should put them on then, is right before Shema, he should put on his tefillin, say Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, and then take them off right away. But otherwise, he is exempt from the mitzvah tefillin. Avashar chayla, any other sick person, in mitzvah becholya, if he has a great deal of pain because of his sickness, and his mind is not settled in Netzara because of his pain, Potter is exempt from wearing tefillin mipnei also lasiyah daitim, because it's forbidden to remove your mind from the tefillin, and if a person is, his mind is not settled, he won't be able to focus properly on his tefillin, and therefore he does not have to wear tefillin. But if not, if he not doesn't have that degree of suffering, of that degree of pain, and he's able to properly focus on the tefillin, chayiv, he's obligated to wear tefillin. Just because one is sick does not exempt him from wearing tefillin, as long as he's able to properly keep his mind focused on the tefillin. Katan, Sifchav Dalet. Katan, a young boy, below the age of bar mitzvah, where he becomes obligated to perform the mitzvahs like an adult. He's a minor. He's not obligated to perform mitzvahs as an adult yet. Hayadiyah lishma tefillin. He knows how to guard his tefillin, meaning he knows how to treat his tefillin with the proper respect. Shalei yafiach b'hem, not to pass gas in them. V'shalei yishem b'hem, and not to sleep in them. At that point, we feel that this child is now mature enough to perform the mitzvah properly, and therefore, aviv chayiv litmeis tefillin, his father is obligated to purchase tefillin for this child, sheyanichem, in order to put them on. And this is the rule, really, by any mitzvah, all commandments, a father is an obligation to train his son to fulfill the commandment. When his son is capable of performing that commandment, the father is obligated to train his son to perform that commandment. And therefore, once the son is able to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin properly, his father has to purchase tefillin for him to allow him to put on the tefillin. However, ve'achshav, nowadays, nispashit ha-minig, the custom has become a widespread custom, shenascha ha-katam ha-niach tefillin, beza gimel chadashim kaidim shenasa ben shalash asveshona, that we do not let a katan, a minor, a child, wear tefillin before the is bar mitzvah, except 2 or 3 months before the bar mitzvah, he puts on tefillin, but not before then. The general custom among, I believe, most at least Ashkenazim, is that they put on a month before their bar mitzvah. There are customs to put on before, 2 or 3 months earlier. One should follow his family custom. But the again, our custom is not to allow a katan to put them on before that time. Sifchav hei. Binyan anachas tefillin b'chol hamayit. Regarding putting on tefillin on chol hamayit, through the intermediate days of Pesach and Sukkot, Yesh machlokes ha-paiskim, there's a disagreement among the paiskim, the halachic commentaries. V'chilukim and hagim, and there are differences in custom. Yesh mekaimis, there are certain places, she'achazu, that they held onto the opinion, kedas ha-paiskim, like the opinion of those paiskim, she'loy la'anichon at all. You don't put tefillin on, they treat the intermediate days of Yom Tov, the days of Chol HaMoed, as if they are days of Yom Tov. On Yom Tov we do not put on tefillin, so too on Chol HaMoed we do not wear tefillin. The Yesh Mekaymis, there are places. Nayagin, they have the custom, Kedas HaPaiskim LeHanichan, like the opinion of the Paiskim that one is supposed to wear tefillin, because Chol HaMoed is not Yom Tov, it's not the same. One is obligated to wear tefillin according to these opinions. Ela, however, Shein Mevarchem Aleihem Mikol Ram, they didn't want to, they don't say the blessing in a loud voice, to publicly say the blessing in deference to the opinion that one is not supposed to be wearing tefillin today. The Beis Knesset and the Shul, Kimashar Yomeshashon, like all other days of the year that you publicly say the blessing, you would say it out loud. Rather, they would put them on and say the blessing quietly. V'yeshna again, and there are those who have the custom, L'anichon b'loi brachos, to put on the tefillin without any blessings at all. The would like to be strict on both opinions, and like to take the stringencies of both opinions, so they'll put them on, but they're nervous, maybe you're not obligated to put them on, so in deference to that opinion, they don't say the blessing, it shouldn't be a blessing in vain. And parenthetically, he points out, the Yesh Le'Chavin, the person has such a custom, and he should have in mind Shin Chol HaMoed, in Lav Zman Tefillin, that if Chol HaMoed is not the proper time to be wearing Tefillin, if one is not supposed to be wearing Tefillin right now, Tiyenu Kiritzuah Be'alma, then these straps should just be like plain leather straps, nothing to do with the mitzvah of Tefillin. And this way, he has fulfilled his obligation according to both opinions. If you're supposed to wear Tefillin, he has put on Tefillin, he has fulfilled the mitzvah. If one is not supposed to put on tefillin, then we do not say it's like he added a mitzvah, he's doing extra. He has intentions that he's not fulfilling a mitzvah now, he's putting on plain straps, and he has fulfilled that opinion also. But according to this custom that he's putting on tefillin and not saying a blessing, even though one is not saying a blessing, still, also lahafsik, bein shal yad l'shal roish, one is forbidden to interrupt between putting on the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh, as we explained before, that there are two different reasons one is not allowed to interrupt. One is because of an interruption between the blessing of the Haniach Tefillin and the putting on of the Shal Rosh. That does not apply over here because he's not saying a blessing. But there's a second reason that we need Havaya Achas L'Shteyem, they should both be put on as one unit, and therefore there should be no interruption in between the putting on of the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh. And therefore now, on Chol HaMoed, even though he is putting on the Tefillin without saying a blessing, he still should not interrupt in the middle. However, the Kaddish or the Kedusha, to respond to Kaddish or Kedusha, Yafsik, he should interrupt. He should answer Amen or Yeshmi Rabba or Kaddish or Baruch to Kaddish or Kedusha. And people should be careful that the people, the congregants, the people who are praying in one shul, in one synagogue, you shouldn't have a situation where some people are putting on tefillin, some people are not putting on tefillin. Kain Yira, this is the way it appears, the Bazaar, that in this situation, if you would have a case where half the shul is wearing tefillin, half the shul is not wearing tefillin, you certainly have the problem of the prohibition against Moises Gredidu, which means you should not make yourself into groups. That it's improper that there should be two groups of Jews following different sets of rules. And while two different shuls, it's okay, but in one shul, for some people to be following one set of rules, to be putting on tefillin, visibly following one set of rules and putting on tefillin, and the other group visibly doing differently and not putting on tefillin, is a problem of lois is greater than and should not be done. Sif Chafat. Tefillin shehuchziku b'kashrus, tefillin that have been established as being kosher, as being valid. Min ha'din, according to the letter of the law, kol zman shehabayis shalim, as long as the box is still complete, meaning there's no visible problem with the bayis, with the tefillin. Gam ha'parishiyos, also the parchment inside, harehin b'chezkasam remains, is presumed to have remained in its kosher, in its valid status. They do not require checking. One does not have to bring them to a cipher to open up the batim and to check the parchments and make sure they're still valid. Even though that is true, that according to the letter of the law, one does not have to check, still, it is proper to check them, because sometimes they get ruined because of the sweat. A person sweats. The sweat seeps into the through the leather, into the parchment, and could cause the letters on the parchment to get ruined. And if it is proper to check one's tefillin every couple of years to make sure that everything is okay. Parenthetically, it's also a good idea to have your tefillin checked because a sefer will notice other signs of aging or other problems with the tefillin. Things may not, the corners may not be so round you didn't notice, or other issues that your average layman may not pay attention to, may not notice. And if one has his tefillin checked every couple of years, then the cipher will also check all other parts of the tefillin and make sure that the tefillin are properly valid. However, if a person does not wear this particular pair of tefillin, only on an infrequent basis, then the law requires that they have to be checked twice every 7 years. We have to be nervous, maybe they became a little bit moldy. When something is used on a regular basis, so mold doesn't set in, because it's aired out all the time, and we could assume that the parashiyos are still valid. However, if it's sitting by itself, without being used, without being taken out, without being aired out, so then it's possible they got moldy, and the parishioners got ruined, and therefore one is obligated to check them every 3.5 years, twice every 7 years. The chen, and similarly, in nikra habayis, if the box, the housing of the tefillin, became ripped, tzrichin gam ha-parishis bedikos, so that it makes us nervous that maybe the parishioners are no longer valid, maybe the parchments have no longer kosher, and they are obligated to check them. The chen and nashu b'mayim, and so too, if the boxes got soaked in water, we have to be nervous that maybe the water seeped in and ruined the parishioners. When we call Markov, and still, even though I just told you that you have to check them, and if you do not have anyone available who knows how to open up the boxes, check the parchment, replace the parchment, and re-sew the boxes so that you will now have a kosher, valid pair of tefillin, then you should put them on as is without checking them. Then you should not lose the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah, the command of tefillin, because if you have them checked, you're going to lose your tefillin, because if the person can't re-sew them up again, you won't have your tefillin. You'll be prevented from fulfilling that mitzvah, therefore it's better that you should put them on as is, but you should not say a blessing, because you don't know that they are kosher. This is certainly true if there was some kind of visible problem with the tefillin, such as they got soaked in water, or they ripped. If it's only a question of their tefillin that you wear every once in a while, and we said you're supposed to check them every 3.5 years, twice every 7 years, so the Mishnah Berurah has a doubt, maybe in that case you could put it on with a blessing, but he is unsure about that, whether or not you actually could do that and say a blessing on those tefillin. For more information about topics that have been covered in this segment, one can look at the resource page of kitzer365.org.